Make sure he behaves. We know that monkey and frog well, but we're not so sure about Uncle Rex. All right. People in their 40s, my goodness. All right, let's turn again to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. We were there last week. We'll look at it again. Well, we probably won't today. Well, somebody's going to have to write Proverbs 35. Well, somebody's going to have to write Proverbs 35 first. Proverbs 1:35, that might do, but we're not going to do that today. All right. I think I'm the only one not Proverbs 8, and I'm in there now. All right, Proverbs 8, verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. So I'm going to deal with prudence today. And I'm going to end up, this should finish us up on prudence. And by the way, next Sunday, most of you probably saw it in the bulletin, but Pastor Willie O'Dell is having a conference that'll go Monday, Tuesday. And I'm one of the two preachers they'll have Monday night. So anybody that can come to that, in other words, you go drive into Holland, you go to the main light, you hang a right, go down there to Hunter's Creek Road and take a left. And you see the Hunter's Creek Baptist Church down there. It's one of those old churches, just been there a long time. And still going and still a King James Bible believing church. So that's a real blessing. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. And I made the statement last week that if you want to find where wisdom is, you have to find prudence. That's where he dwells, okay? If I was looking for Tanya Spencer, I'd have to go find Calvin Randolph's house. She dwells there with him, okay? That's her dad. That's where she dwells, okay? If I wanted to find Autumn Ford, I'd have to go find Neil Ford's house, all right? She dwells with Neil Ford. That's her dad. That's where she dwells. If I wanted to find wisdom, I'd have to find where prudence is, because I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. And then I find out knowledge of witty inventions. So we're going to look at prudence here, and we'll go to Proverbs chapter 12. You know, another one of the great blessings in this church, by the way, I was thinking to myself, 47 years Pastor Haynes pastored other places, and 5 years he's been here. So pretty soon they would say 10% of his ministry has been spent at the Black Creek Baptist Church, all right? All right, he gave us the tithe. All right. What we're hoping is one day it'll be 50-50. You'll be in your hundreds, but we're hoping it'll be there. All right. So we go to Proverbs chapter 12, and we'll look at verse 23. It says, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Now, you say, well, who's concealing knowledge? Well, liars do. Okay. Spies do. But if a prudent man will, he'll conceal knowledge. What kind of knowledge would he conceal? Well, you know, when I was growing up, we used to go to the Catholic Church over in Machias, and there was my brother-in-law, Fran. He's been the town judge in Machias since who knows when, Fran Lonsbury, but he had a cousin by the name of Teresa, who suffered from mental retardation, lived with her family and such. And, you know, Teresa just was always in church and always happy to see everybody and such. But you could never let her hear a family secret. She'd just tell it, okay? You know, Aunt so-and-so's pregnant, she'd say. You know, Aunt so-and-so's not married or whatever, and everybody died because Teresa's out there telling the family secrets. And they just learned. And she didn't mean it in malice. She just heard it talked about in the kitchen. She's talking about it here at church. And they just had to learn. You know, you can't tell Teresa certain things, right? You just can't do that. What was missing there? Well, because she was what the Bible would call feeble-minded, okay? She says comfort the feeble-minded, kind of such people and such. Usually wonderful to have a person like that in your life and You know, we've got little Ray Ray, for example, and such, wonderful person to have around. But the point of that is she didn't have prudence. She didn't know what to tell and what not to tell. She didn't have that. She didn't have that understanding that this is something I should tell. You know, sometimes people come up and confide something in you. And I've had people come up and confide things in me, and I don't even tell my wife what got said. Hey, if you're going to sit there, those two toys have to sit by you. We're not going to play with those, all right? If anybody plays with them, I do. All right? That's right. And you ought to sit, yeah? Because Punchy has taught you how. All right. That's what he calls Ron, his grandpa, Punchy. But the thing is, knowing what to tell. I've had people come up and tell me things that were deep. They're personal. I mean, tell my wife those things. There's no need for her to know that. And you know what? I've given my wife complete liberty. There's people in this church that come up and told her things. She doesn't have to tell me. She doesn't have to tell me that. She'd absolutely, you could tell her something, and absolutely, she's going to hold on to that. She's not going to go tell that to other people or whatever. Why? It's a thing of prudence. Okay? You conceal knowledge. You hold that in. You don't just have to blat everything you hear. Okay? And again, it's one of those things. Learning that kind of thing is often painful in life. You know, you make mistakes on it sometimes, and say things that never should, and you hurt people sometimes with that kind of thing, okay? And so part of the idea of prudence is that idea of knowing what to say, but it says the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. They just never stop talking. They're just going on and this and that and everything else. And, you know, one of the things the Bible says, it says a dream is made by a multitude of business. You know, once in a while somebody really has a dream. Something they want to do. You know how they get it done? They work at it, okay? But a fool just talks and talks and talks. A fool's known by a multitude of words. All right? I was telling you what they're going to do and such, and they never do any of it. You know, and so it's one of those things, again, knowing what to say, what not to say. That's part of what prudence is, having that understanding. And again, it's often painful to get that skill in your life because you make those mistakes. And, you know, but for one thing, don't betray a trust. Yes. You know, yes. Again, I grew up Catholic, and you know one of those things with a Catholic priest, when a man came up in what was called confession, we don't believe in confession here. If you're going to confess, you confess to God. I don't want to know your sins. My goodness, I got enough of my own going on here. All right? But again, a Catholic priest was trained that if a man confessed that, oh, I've been stealing from you, he can't go lock his drawers. That's you know, he can't do that. He can't react to anything that was told him in there. And then I've always had a respect to that, okay? I had a couple call me. A wife called me a number of years ago, and I'd never met her before. She heard of me, and she asked me if I'd come. And I went to her house, and really it was another office she was sitting in. Her and her husband was sitting there, and I walked in the door, and she pointed at her husband and said, he's been molesting her. I turned to him and said, sir, is that so? And he hanging his head down, yes. And I said, well, you need to be in jail, okay? And, but I said, I'm clergy. I'm the one person you can tell that I don't, you know, I'm not going to run out and go tell the police, okay? But I turned to the wife and said, I happen to know you're in a career, that you're a mandatory reporter. So you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to resign your job and resign all that, or you're going to turn him in. And I gave her the phone number for the Olean State Trooper Barracks, the Cattaraugus County one. I gave her the phone number for the Allegheny one. And we talked on the phone for a few days. She was in agony over it. I just talked to her, explained to her, your daughter's never going to heal. She's going to live under that agony for all those years and such. And, and one day she called me and said, I did it. In prayer, she said, I did it. She said, just an agony over that whole thing. And you know what? Because she prayed and such, the state trooper that came out happened to know her family and said, I'm going to keep this out of the paper. And he did. And that man wore orange, and he needed to wear orange. Okay? That daughter needed to see that man in handcuffs and go to jail for the things he'd done to her. And it was important that he could see that. And that everybody know, and it was out in the open and such. And I've always been glad of that. But again, because it was told to me as a pastor, it's one of those things that by, you know, the state of New York, the government of the United States, and everybody else will protect that. You say, would you have let it go on? Well, for one thing, the molestation stopped. If it was still going on, and maybe I'd have got shot or something. But again, God backed that up. God backed it up. All right. Proverbs 13. Let's go to verse 16. Proverbs 13, verse 16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. Now, what does it mean that deal with knowledge? Everybody has, you ever heard anybody say, oh, just deal with it. Just deal with it, okay? Just deal with it. You know what? There's certain things in your life that are crummy. And awful things. And some of your backgrounds and awful things that have gone on and things that are happening, you know what? The healing comes and you can deal with it. You can't make it go away. You can't make it not happen. You can't make dead people come back to life. You can't make crimes done against you go away. You can't do that. But you can deal with it. You take the knowledge that's out there and say, all right, this is a bitter, this is an awful thing, okay? Sometimes couples finding out things about each other and such. You can find out things aren't exactly what you thought they would be or whatever. You can deal with it, okay? Prudent man deals with knowledge. You can handle that. You can take it. And such. What's a fool do? Well, it gives you the opposite. But a fool layeth open his folly. After a while, it's just obvious the person's a fool. Okay? They just go on and talk and let everybody see it. Now turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14. Look at verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. It's amazing how many people just go on in life doing things and they've never really thought out their way, where they're going, which way they're going. They just keep taking steps and quite often keep ending up places they don't want to be. Okay? But you know what? Certain steps are going to lead you in certain directions. I can say to myself, I want to go out that door. You know what? I want to go out that door. You know what, Tommy? I want to go out that door over there. You know what, Samantha? I want to go out that door. Jennifer, I want to go out that door over there. You know what, Kyle? I want to go out that door over there. You know what, John? I want to go out that door over there. You know what? I want to go out. Nick, I want to go out that door over there. What happened? Every step I'm taking is taking me out this door. It doesn't matter what my mouth is saying. How many people I know in life that talk to me about what they want to do, but every step they're taking is going the wrong way?
Yes.
Right. Step by step, they keep making steps like that? That's really what's called in the Bible. This is not a Bible word, but it explains something in Ezekiel 28, where it talks about the devil. It says, thou art wiser than Daniel. There's no secret that can be hid from thee. How come somebody so wise ends up in Armageddon? How come somebody so wise ends up in the lake of fire if you're that wise? And it's what's called corrupted wisdom. Now, let me give you an example. You have someone 21, 22 years old, they finally have a good job or whatever, they paid a couple of bills and, you know, they get an offer in the mail for a credit card or something and in comes that thing with the credit card. Now, if you ask them, what happens if you charge too much and you can't pay it? Well, it would really hurt me, okay? You know, the interest would go way up and all that.
How is there two Proverbs?
Well, because it goes from one page to the next. That's right. Okay, good question. A lot of people have been wondering why there's two Proverbs 31s, but now you know. All right? But the point is, you go ahead and you've got this credit card, and you know full well what will happen. But yet you look and say to yourself, gosh, you know, that set of shoes, I would just love to have it. We can make one exception. You know, swipe that card. And then, you know, it's one of those things where you can't quite afford gas next week, but you really want to go somewhere. Put it on that card, okay? And, you know, the thing is, what's making you do it? Individual tiny lusts are taking steps for you.
Yeah.
Individual tiny lusts are carrying you somewhere that you know in your mind where it's going to lead you. Then why do you end up there? Because tiny little lusts are taking you there. It's what's called corrupted wisdom, okay? You could have explained it ahead of time where you were going to end up, but you end up there anyway. You know, one of the things they talk about in the sense of spouses. You know, so I hear spousal abuse. And now keep in mind, if I hear that a man hits a woman, 911, okay, that's all there is. So it's just 911, we're just done. It's over. No excuse, you hit a woman, okay? You know, we write to the Pope, get a special dispensation on her birthday just to spank her. But, but the point is, you know, men that hit women, there's almost always a dance that goes back and forth between the man and the woman where she brings him to the brink where he'll hit her. And they actually do that. They know that if they say this next thing, he'll hit her. There's no excuse for him to hit her. But always that woman will say something knowing he will hit me now. Okay? Okay? Now, again, he needs to go to jail. Okay? Men that hit women need to wear orange. Alright? And they need to go somewhere where other people hit them. But the point in that, again, is part of it, when you're training that couple how to live together, part of it, even if he doesn't hit you, don't say that. You're pushing him over a brink, even if he doesn't hit you. Okay? There's certain things you can say to people that never need to be said. There's no need to say that thing. There's no need to say it. You hurt people with what you say. Okay? Whoever wrote sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. He's probably lived maybe 3 seconds on the earth. Yeah. Okay? And I understand physically words won't hurt you. I get a lot of words said to me, and they're just not going to bother me. Okay? I mean, they do later. You know, one of the things I say is this. If somebody shoots Superman in the face, what's the bullet do? Bounces down on the ground. Okay?
No.
But you know the second thing is? He knows that that person didn't want to kill him. Okay? And a lot of times people come up to you and they say terrible things to you. Be Superman. Let it just bounce on the ground. But it's kind of hard because you're looking at somebody who really did want to hurt you. They really did want to make you feel miserable. They wanted to settle all their misery by making you miserable. Okay? A prudent man's careful with what he says. Prudent, the wisdom of the prudent is understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Proverbs 14:8. Deceit. You know, there are certain people, and I have been one of those for far too long in my life, who just will be filling out a form, and suddenly there's one little thing on the form, just a little white line. You don't fill out quite right, you know. Or whatever else. And you don't quite tell the truth on this. You don't quite tell the truth on that. And let me tell you something. That's just a grievous thing to have in a life. That's a fool that does that. It's just folly. It's deceit. You're living in a world of lies doing that. And, you know, and it's a grievous thing. And if I could go back and change my life in anything, there's a lot of things I want to change, but that would be one for sure. Okay? Something I clung on to far too long. You know, just, well, it's a little white lie here, it's a little white lie there, and such. And no such thing as a little white lie. You realize God wouldn't tell a little white lie if it would keep you out of hell? If you were standing at the brink of the lake of fire and angels ready to throw you in, God wouldn't tell a little white lie to keep you out of there. You know why? Because he told the truth to get you saved. All right. Proverbs 14:15. Prudence again. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. What's the name of prudent belief? You know, the simple believe every word. In other words, they're too gullible. You know, they just simple Simon met a pine and going to the fair. You know, they're just too gullible. And you don't have to cover your face, Randy.
Funny, considering the one who likes to play with my head so much.
Yes, I do. Yes, I'm into miniaturization. It's a good toy. All right, but it's this idea again. And you know, we like to teach Randy and such, and you know, carry on with such. But you know, if there's anybody here who's a better sport, Randy, I don't know who you are.
Okay? I mean, he's got a friend somewhere.
That's right, and he is. He's just a good sport with that kind of stuff. And you know what? The other thing is, one of the joys of our life is watching him grow and reach and grow. I mean, just doing better all the time and taking responsibility on and handling things. And just a good thing to see, and we love it. But I do pull his chain a lot. Yes. But the whole point of this is don't be gullible. A prudent person isn't gullible. They don't just believe. You know, it's one of the, Ronald Reagan said this, trust but verify. You know what? When someone comes up to me and tells me something and I don't know them, I try to take them at face value. There's people that, well, you're going to stab me in the back. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You know what? What if they do stab me in the back? I want it to be an utter shock. I want it to be something where it's an utter shock and a bitterness to me they did. I don't want to say, oh, I knew they would. I don't want to do that. Well, you say, what if they betrayed you once? Well, they come up the next time. I'm going to be a little more guarded. Okay? I'm not going to be quite as, you know, open to be able to be stabbed again the next time. But if they come up and apologize right or whatever else, we'll be a little bit more guarded and we'll handle it. What if they get you a second time? You know what Jesus said to 70 times 70? They repent. But you're not as forthcoming with your wallet, your goods and such. You know, forgiving and trusting are two different things. When you betray a person's trust, it takes a long time to build it back up. And you want to know one of the ways you know that somebody's trying? They'll go out of their way to show you that they're being honest. When a person keeps standing in the shadows, saying, hey, what are you doing? Oh, no, I wasn't doing anything. No, I wasn't. But they never come out in the light. They never quite do that. That's a dishonest person. They're just trying to fool you again. They're always hanging out there in the shadows and never quite there. Always a story and such. But the point is, if you've betrayed someone's trust and you've lost their trust, bend over backwards to get that trust back, telling the truth, and don't be upset with them if they don't believe you, okay? You want to know one of the telltales of a liar? If I told you something that was the truth and you didn't believe me, I'd be mildly concerned. When a liar tells the truth, and they don't very often, but when they tell the truth and somebody doesn't believe it, they go ballistic.
Yeah.
Ballistic. They're absolute. What? You don't believe me? I was telling the truth. You call on the phone right now. You'll hear that I was telling the truth. They hold it against you forever. That's a sign of a liar. Okay? Once in a blue moon, they told the truth. And now they're going nuts because you didn't believe them the one time. Okay? That's always a sign of a liar. All right. Proverbs chapter 19. Verse 14. House and riches are in the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. Not every wife is prudent. You know, Ruth Ann and I came together, and if there's one thing both of us had in common when we came together, we were both fools. I don't know any other way to put it. Okay? We just were. And one of the things that we've had to struggle through over the years is learning to let the Word of God come in our lives and such. You know, one of the things I told God when I got saved is I just said, you know, if I am any, in other words, if I look at my father, if I were the only way to judge my father, we would have to call him a failure. Okay? Because I was just such a fool. I was just such a terrible person and such when I got saved. And fortunately, I had other brothers and sisters who really were good citizens, good people, and that my father could come out of that. But I told the Lord, please don't fail me on this. I need a father. I need somebody to show me how to live, how to be what I'm supposed to be inside. And, you know, both my wife and I have had to struggle with that, with God in our adult years, trying to build character in us. So it's such a hard thing to do, okay? But I've watched God give my wife prudence, and I've watched him build that kind of thing in her, and it's such a heritage from God to have that happen, okay? You know, Kyle and I were talking, and we were just watching Tiffany with the baby and such, but I said to him again, there's no richer man than the man who could go to work and come home, and his wife was able to be home with the children, okay? You might be in a little pink trailer in the woods with a 50-year-old car that's full of rust or whatever else. But by golly, there's no richer man than the man who can come. I understand we have people who can't do that. I'm not trying to throw stones at people who can't do that, okay? But there's no richer man than somebody who can do that. You come home, and the home's what it's supposed to be, the children are what they're supposed to be, and that wife has shown prudence through the day and prudence and things. But no richer man than that. It's a wonderful thing when it can happen. Now, we're going to end up. We'll probably end up a little bit early. That'll let the meeting go on. We're going to end up in 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. Look at verse 18. 1 Samuel 16, verse 18. They're looking for someone who can help Saul. And then answered one of the servants, and behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing, talking about on the music, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. David was known, even in his youth, as a prudent man. Now, I want you to look at David's life in the sense, think about when he was brought into Saul's palace and Saul became jealous of him. And Saul actually would try to kill him at times and such when he'd be in his madness. And to talk about David would have that wisdom to know how to come in and out with God's people and such and never overstep those bounds and such. There was a sense of prudence there, walking with the knowledge, dealing with what he had to deal with, handling it that way, knowing when to keep his mouth shut, when not to keep his mouth shut, having that all together. That's what prudence is. Now, wisdom dwells with prudence. If you want to have wisdom in your life, learn to have prudence in your life. Learn to know how to handle those things, when to say things, when not to say things. Wisdom abides right in the midst of that. Pastor Hayne, why don't you close us, and then you can have your meeting. Well, we're going to have a meeting about getting the Skoltons back to Warren. What do you think of that? We might even take some of the loot.